Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 243, part 1, Eternal Life. Today is Friday, April 20th, 2012. Happy birthday, Miss Ruth. Grammy, I missed you.
Today's tape is entitled Eternal Life. John 10, 27 through 30 says like this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." It's a stage, stages. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish." Please hear this. You legalists that are listening on the radio, I want you to hear it. "And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Please remember that. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." Listen now. "And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." No one can pluck them out of his hand. And so now here we have Jesus preaching a deeper spiritual truth. And at first in his ministry, they all gathered around about him. And he preached where he was brought up, and they admired him. Well, he's from our hometown. But now he starts to preach about election. And you know what? When you start to preach election like Jesus did, it makes people killer mad. They hated to hear that the widows of Israel will be passed up and that the heathen women would be chosen. The Bible says those that think they're going to be first will be last, and those that think they're going to be last will be first. That ministry. "But Lord," they're going to say in the end, "I prophesied in your name." You did? Well, maybe it was a forgery. Maybe it was just a forgery. Oh, how they hated it when the heathen leopards were healed, while lepers from their own race died. Election, yeah. Election makes people hot. To hear in the Word of God that "I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. I knew you. I knew you and my heart's desire. I was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was even founded. I desired. I took on the job. I took on the ministry of saving you. I knew you." Now we're into a deeper spiritual truth here. No, see, a lot of times people would rather buy their way in. They really don't care to be chosen themselves. Yet they stand in the door so others can't get in. Standing in the door. So many times we'll see that in ministry. Jesus said, "Ye believe not because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you." Know how some of us like to believe that we are a select group. That we have all the truth. Well, we prophesy. We speak in tongues. I have the ministry of discernment and so on. We are greater. And even the disciples got into that. We are great. Who is the greatest? And so you see, we fall into manipulating one another through the scriptures, through the gifts. So much of that is going on right now in this last dying kicks of this movement. So you know why it's dying? Because it's not lifting up Jesus Christ. It's not lifting up the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so someone's got to be bold in the very beginning here and start to preach that simple message of salvation, that simple message of going out into the world and ministering unto all creation. That message we need to hear. Are we to keep this teaching, I'm saying, a secret? That secret that people would like to keep, Jesus Christ as Lord of all. But anyway, talking about secrets, listen to this one. "Who can understand his errors?" Do you understand all your errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know, sitting here today, how many secret faults that we all have. God is the only one that sees you, all of the time. And so he ministers that our righteousness is our filthy rags. God sees us in the very deepest parts of ourself, and yet he died for us. Why keep God's forgiveness a secret? Is it something to keep secret? Do people love others to work for a free gift? Should we wrap it up with nylon tape? Here's a free gift, the free gift of salvation. Should we then wrap it up? And I would hope, Steve, when you go out, that you minister salvation to people, that you lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, that you go on out there into the world right now. And there's so many that need to hear the plain gospel message of Jesus Christ. There's so many out there right now that are lost. There's so many out there that are coming into the mission every day. Every day I see them coming in. And they all have the same desire, to be needed of someone, to be wanted of someone, to be respected, to know how we need to shed the love of Christ abroad, how we need to minister the simple salvation message. So anyway, Jesus openly proclaims the truth. What I tell you in the darkness, that ye speak in the light. Well, I've learned how to do that. I've learned how to tell deep, dark secrets. And what ye hear in the ear, that ye preach upon the housetops. I don't think there's any truth that we should be ashamed of. Maybe you've learned a truth about yourself. Well, it says in the Bible, the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why not share that with someone? Why try to hide behind religious robes? Why not be open, above board, up front, and just say, well, this is the way it is. Here's what the light has shown me about myself. And you know how many people could relate with you, you preachers listening on the radio? Oh, how I hunger and thirst after that type of righteousness. That righteousness that says, hey, all is not well with man. We are not religious beings on our own. And I think there is no truth that will harm us. Sure, every truth can be twisted. But even more evil is the hiding of it. Why hide the truth? Maybe you're sitting here today. Maybe you're a preacher. Maybe you're listening on the radio and there's some truth that you're hiding. Is that to be hidden? No, it's to be brought out into the light, not for a condemning. But you see, those things cannot hurt you if they're out in the light. Do everything in the light. Well, should I stop preaching eternal salvation? Should I stop preaching the unlimited grace and the election because someone might pervert it? They will pervert it. And we do in some way every day. Should we go ahead and keep it a secret because someone, God's going to love you no matter what? Well, let's don't preach that because somebody might pervert it. They pervert it all the time. Isn't our very love perverted in a way? I have people that will call me and say, you know, Jesus in me loves you. Well, I kind of wonder, how about you? Don't you think you should work on your love? Don't you think you should follow your example, Jesus Christ? Are we to stop ministering the full grace of God? The total forgiveness of the Lord? Well, do you stop making cars because someone might get killed in one? Or knives, or guns, or bikes, because they might be misused? Do we stop having children because they're too much of a burden? Does Jesus stop saving because they're too much of a burden? I think the biggest perverters of the gospel are the ones that conceal its wonderful truths with ifs and with buts and with questions. I think to hide the gospel and the beautiful gospel is to pervert it. To not preach the gospel is to pervert it, to add to it, to subtract from it. And so our Savior didn't teach his disciples to keep certain things for the instructed few who were able to receive them. No, he said, shout it from the housetops. I know from whence I came I could minister the grace message because, you see, I entirely need it. When I was brought to Christ, I entirely needed the grace message, and I know it's only the grace of God that will keep me going through. How many in here are listening on the radio can say, well, now I've made it in, I don't need grace anymore? In this final hour, you're going to need the grace message like you never needed it before. Jesus himself ministered to people who hated him. He said, ye believe not because ye are not my sheep. Your unbelief is evidence. It shows up you are not the chosen, that you have not been called by the Spirit of God. And it also shows you are still in your sins. The Jews, it says, had said to him, if thou be Christ, tell us plainly. Come, prove yourself that you are Christ. Many know the gospel, but are not aware of their need for it. I think that there's a lot of people out there that don't recognize the gospel because it isn't recognizable. What good is it to go on out there and preach your doctrine? Oh, like never before. On the streets, when we go out into the streets out here and we start ministering to the people out there, what are they ready to hear? What are they hungering and thirsting after? God's righteousness, Jesus Christ. That's all they want to hear. They don't want to hear how good you have become. How good have you become anyway? The only goodness that you have is living in Christ Jesus, and that's what they want to hear. That's really what they're hungering and thirsting after. I almost have a godly anger when I get out there and I see people laying their hands on people, prophesying over people, not offering the gospel to people, getting into all kinds. Are you against prophecy? No, I'm not against prophecy. Are you against all these things? When it doesn't lift up Jesus Christ and it elevates self, yes, of course I'm against it. And I think we need to go ahead and say, yes, we're perverting the gospel in lifting up ourselves. Oh, how we need to get out there and go onto the highways and onto the byways and minister unto all creation the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We're falling into areas we should not fall into. Political shim-sham is going on right now. A lifting up of the gospel, a bringing it into politics. Are you hearing this? Well, Pastor Paul, don't you get involved in politics? Yeah, if I get in there, I minister the gospel. Pastor Paul, what do you have to say at certain meetings that I'll go to in government places? Well, I'll tell you what I have to say. Woe be it unto me if I preach not the glorious gospel. Close all the doors and windows, because that's all you're going to hear from these old lips is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that ye must be born again. And I know you're tired of hearing that, and you've heard it so much you're putting it on, be born again, be a football player that's born again and able to catch a ball better because it's born again and so on like that. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is saying this in a simple message, is you must be born again. We've perverted it. We got telephones ringing. We have these fundraisers on phones and so like that, just like the world. No, the Bible says, the Lord's portion is his people. His inheritance is you. Well, maybe you don't think you're much of an inheritance. Jesus does. My sheep, I am the sole owner. I am not merely their keeper. I am your possessor. I possess you. I own you. I bought you by the price of my life. My blood bought you. My sheep. They are dependable. They are timid. They are trembling. They are obedient. And they are teachable. And they are truthful. They are made sheep by His own Spirit. I oftentimes wonder why people can minister so much legalism. Do this and don't do that. And throughout the day, in my own mind, I'm finding there's all kinds of things that are wrong. Can you say amen, anyone out here? Or am I crazy? Am I all by myself? How is it that we're able to judge one another? Because we know ourselves. How many in here know themselves? Oh, you don't know yourself entirely. Put your hands up if you know yourself just a little bit. Do you know, according to the Word of God, if you knew yourself entirely, you would not be able to live with yourself? God takes you just as you are. Why not be thankful for that and go on? Why not be thankful for that new nature that you have received? Not a dog's nature. Not a pig's nature. Not a wolf's nature, but a lamb's nature. Clean and gentle and loving and gracious and peaceful and dumb. I bet there's some people so dumb they can't even spell that word dumb. Should we have a spelling bee in here? And dumb. Well, let me back that up. Be careful when you think you know something, Jesus says. Know nothing at all. Stay a little dumb, will you? Do you know when folks are dangerous? When they think they know something. You know, I've been thinking lately. Uh-oh. And you know what I've come up with? Don't you find that to be true? No, I think this, that we as lambs have learned that Jesus is our guardian. Are you hearing this? They are sheep to Him, and He is a shepherd to them. Judge for yourself. Consider this. Are you His sheep? Do you say, I belong to Jesus? Body, soul, and spirit? Well, why don't you add to that then? As much as is within you. See, every day you give a little bit of your body, don't you? You don't give it all. You don't give all your soul, and you don't give all of your spirit. You give a little bit at a time. You learn to give a little bit at a time. Do we regard ourselves as being in relation to Him? No wiser? No stronger than sheep to a shepherd? I know some who are not, for they will not be led. They go from one pastor to the next pastor. I have ministered to people in counseling, and they have gone like for 2 years, and they went to every pastor in the city, and they'll come back to me, and I say, my God, man, don't you remember you were in here 2 years ago? Playing that same game? Why don't you go to Jesus Christ? I think when our preaching doesn't lead people and point to Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. Do you know what all of you people need in your lives right here more than anything else? And I'm just using you because you're up front here. Thank you so much for being my examples. Do you know what you need more than anything else in the whole spectrum of this life? Jesus Christ. Oh, we don't fully know that right away. But I am my own being right now through ministry and through glorious suffering, wonderful suffering, have come to the very fond conclusion that I cannot live without the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been a taking of this away and a taking of that away of all of these different things that's brought me to this very final and very beautiful resolve that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Well, maybe someone else will try to, the world says, lord it over you. But there's only one Lord, and you'll all find that out. In the end, it says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every one of them. All of us. But there's many that must have their own sweet way. They are the critics of the Bible, not the disciples of it. They are the great dogs, bark, wag, and bite. They are the respectable wolves, rip, tear, and devour. They temper, and their temper and their spirit give them away. They even admit it sometimes. But they won't turn in their claws and fangs and wag and bark and growl for anybody. I think a mark of Jesus Christ's people is attention. My sheep hear. Sometimes in the lonesomeness of ministry, I'll recluse myself and get alone. And I'll say, Jesus, I got to hear from you on this. Not too long ago, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, I asked the Lord, and we needed funds. I said, Lord, you know, we really got to do something here. And the Lord spoke to me in this little quiet voice. It wasn't thunder and lightning. I'm not going to say I seen a vision or I had a visitation or an angel came down and said, Paul, and fire shot from his mouth. And there's a lot of that going on right now. Mark it down. It is not all of God. But there's a small, still-like voice that said, Paul, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. Well, $20,000 worth was taken care of just a couple of days ago. And now we're only a few thousand in the hole. Jesus is not the author of confusion. I know that. If I know anything, I know he is not the author of confusion. My God, I know it. I know that when God puts us in a ministry and brings us to a point, and we listen to his voice, we know his voice. Now, there's a lot of other voices out there. God knows I've heard every one of them. Oh, give up. Why are you sticking with this thing? Why don't you just throw in the towel? And I'll tell you something. I know his voice. We can all know his voice. And you know where you know his voice? In a very dark time in your life. That's the only time you're really ever going to listen. When there's nobody else to listen to. So all these voices are out there and all these rumblings are out there and all these threatenings are out there. And I'm just talking about spiritual warfare now. And all of these things are out there. And you just shut it all out and you listen to that small, still voice. This particular ministry right here is getting ready, and it almost causes me to tremble. Listen to it now. Is getting ready to totally double. Foods are going to come in here like you've never seen it before. Already it's happening right now. I am praying for a way to contain all the foods and things that are coming in here, that God has opened up the windows of heaven here to the north side, and the north side, glory to God, is helping people in the suburbs. Isn't that the old switcheroo? Glory. Doesn't that just thrill your old heart? Say amen, somebody. Doesn't that thrill you? Don't it? My God, it thrills me. It gets me excited when I see things like that happening, when God is getting ready to double. Well, now, if you were in business out there, you're listening, and you had all kinds of money, you want things, business to double. You want, oh, boy, it's going to double. But right now, I've got to get down on my hands and knees and start to pray. Where am I going to put all this stuff? We're working 24 hours a day right now to get rid of all the food that God is bringing in here. I'm looking at 25 to 30 tons of ground round right now. Is that a lot of ground round? Are you hearing this? We're looking at multitudes, trailer loads of food that will come pouring in here at any moment. Are you ready? I've heard the call. It was just a small, still voice. Are you ready? So, you want to be blessed with food. Now, are you ready? Oh, you don't have enough meat. Is this enough meat? You don't have enough bread. You don't have enough canned goods. You got to know his voice. Whew. Is that exciting? Yesterday, we gave away turkey drumsticks. Well, I thought about it. They were in the freezer in there, and I thought, well, we don't have a lot of turkey. I wonder why we don't have a lot of turkey. Give, the voice says, freely, freely I've given to you, freely give it away. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Get ready for a whole lot of gobblers to come in through them doors, folks. How'd you like that one, you turkeys? No. A mark of Christ Jesus' people is attention. My sheep hear. They have spiritual ears. Now they can hear him. Says the stranger, they will not follow, for they know not the voice of strangers. Who's that? That's a strange voice. So now we start to recognize his voice. Like a child recognizes his parents' voice. Carnal ears won't hear his voice. But those of us who have tuned in, they hear him whisper. I think we can have acute hearing. I think it echoes through our soul and sets our whole body alive. The elect ones hear his voice. He calls in vain to others. And I think another mark of the Lord's people is intimacy. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Isn't there a song like that? Beginning to know you, beginning to know more about you. And the more that I know you, the more that I understand. Huh? The more that I know of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that I know he is able to keep me under that hour. I know them, for the Lord knoweth them that are his. Sometimes we don't know them. You know, you could be walking down the street and the biggest, dirtiest, most perverted looking person, the whore, the boozer, the child beater, the molester, the drug addict are his. We don't know. He knows. That's why the Bible says, judge not, lest ye be judged in the same manner that ye judge, so shall ye be judged in the same manner that ye mete it out to others, so shall it be met out to you. How do you know about that whore when she goes home at night and she lays in her bed, the sufferings that she goes through? Oh, I know, but for the grace of God, I could be that whore. Or that drunk. Or that perverted person. We don't always know his sheep. Ah. See, a hypocrite can't make it in. The Lord knoweth his. You're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. Someone you thought wasn't going to make it up there. It's going to be up there with them great big old crowns of glory on, diamond studded. You're going to get up there with a paper hat, smoking tennis shoes, and a diaper. I know them means a knowledge of appropriation. I know them, says the shepherd. In the original Greek, I take great delight in them. Can you imagine Jesus taking great delight in? He must know something about me I don't know about myself. That God would take great delight in me? I know their secret moanings. You know when something's wrong with your little one, when they kind of moan a little bit at night, you hear it right away. You can be in a dead sleep, and one of them little ones moaned, you know it. I know their secret moanings. I hear their private prayers. I know their silent praises. When you go, whew, that's a praise. When something works out, you didn't think it was going to work out, and you go, whew. Wouldn't you think that was cute if one of your kids did that? And he's got his little hat turned sideways, and boy, just missed a tree, and he goes, whew, with his bicycle. Your little, whew, that's a praise to God. So many times people think that they have to act out praises. And that's all right. Or that they have to be in a big group. We will praise you for, hi Joe, forever, hi Betty, forevermore. Now that's all right. But how many people are praising the Lord and we don't even think they are of the Lord? How many people are saying, whew, wow, it came out all right. See how very little we know? Huh? How many people are going to be running to their mailbox and they're way behind in their bills and they run out there and they're praying, they don't even know they're praying, they run out there and Uncle Sam comes through with a return and they go, whew. How much do we really know about the love of God? Who can know it? Who can get around it, get over it, get under it? No, there's no one. But I know their silent praises. He knows us. We have a foreknowing clause. I knew you. He intensely observes you. He's observing you. Do you remember when you were out playing and you'd just happen to look up and there's your mother's face in the window with the curtains parted, intensely watching you? That's how God watches you, intensely. Does he keep score? And keep score on those things? If your kid comes up and bites you in the leg, do you write that down? Child bit me in the leg. Ferocious. Drew blood. And hold that against him for the rest of his life? No, you paddle his rear. God chastises his own children too, doesn't he? He doesn't keep account. God says, I do not keep account. I'm not keeping track of your sins. Why, man, if we're to keep track of each other's sins in our own sin nature, we'd be busy. Every thought, even the sin that's in a praise. Even the sin is, well, I really, now, let's just look at this right now. I mean, you know, I'm just going to use here. Listen. I really want to thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. And you've done a great service for the mission. I can't tell you, brother, how much I appreciate. And right in the middle of those appreciations, I'm thinking all kinds of other things. How many know you're always thinking all kinds of other things? Man, get out of here. I got other things to do. Stop standing around waiting for me to pat you on the back all the time and just drop the truckload of junk back there and get out of here. Huh? Oh, you don't think that way? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Don't we? Oh, I love you so much. There's a song like that. I love you so much it hurts me. I think it does sometimes. It hurts people to love people. I love you so much it hurts me. Why? Because he wants to love himself. How many know we don't always have time for one another? And we stand in these lines, shake, 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 and the minister stands up at the end like, I'm so glad you came today. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm so glad you came. Thank you. And he's looking out of the corner of his eye and looking all the way. Huh? I mean, we have to be honest. I think we can only improve ourselves if we're honest with ourselves and we face the truth. We really need Jesus Christ every day, don't we? I don't know about you, I need him every waking moment. How many are hearing this? See, it's just all that phoniness and all that facade that's sin. Isn't that a loving... Pastor Paul, I don't know how you do it. You are so loving and so kind. If anybody makes it to heaven, it will be you. Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. I don't think highly of myself at all. I'm just glad that lightning hasn't struck me yet, all right? Because see, if you really know yourself, you know even your righteousnesses are but filthy rags, and that's what we got to come to, so we can appreciate Jesus Christ and the job that he has done, glory to God, so that we can get on the improvement plan comes when we recognize that we are sinners. And so many people don't recognize that they're sinners. They're too busy looking at sinners. I know them. He knows you. I know you're mine, and I'm the only one that's really willing to keep you. That's why you're kept by the power of God. Nobody else will keep you. You're not keepers. Remember when we had marbles and we'd shoot our marbles down there and we'd go around the old thing there and we had our great big steelies and we'd shoot these marbles and we had keepers. How many were into marbles? Anybody in here? A few of you lost your marbles. Is that it? But he observes us. He's observing you right now. There's a lot of people in here right now, listening on the radio right now, saying, well, God's observing me. He knows every movement. Now, don't get paranoid. Did you ever try to be loving? You get paranoid. Say, okay, my father's watching me. So now I gotta show that I'm loving. Did you ever try to show how loving you are? It doesn't come off. Doesn't come off. See, it's got to be in the flow of the Spirit. Have you ever tried to be kind? Today I'm going to be kind. And so we put on a kind face. May I help you? Yeah, you can help me. I've been standing in line for 15 minutes. Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, sir. Then we turn around and go in the office. Pastor Paul, there's something I got to tell you. There's too much salt in this soup. Do you know what happens when you put salt in people's soup? Haven't you read the medical journals on salt in people's soup? No, I haven't. Well, maybe I'm in error. Maybe I should refrain from putting so much salt in there. Thank you very much for your advice. Why not be honest? God, that makes me mad to hear you say I got too much salt in that soup. And I need prayer. It's me, oh Lord, it's me, standing in the need of prayer right now. Too much salt. This guy don't have enough salt. This is too much salt over there. Where's the pepper? Lord, I'm surrounded by ignoramuses. I guess I'm about the only smart one here. That's the attitude people pick up on. Why can't people be like me, huh? Praise God, one of me, let me tell you, is enough. And I heard a lot of amens on that one. Say amen. God only makes one of a kind. There's a reason for it. Want to double up? Double your trouble? No, I take delight in these people. I intensely observe these people. I know the way of the righteous. The Bible says, I know the way of the righteous. So right away, a whole lot of people think, well, he sure knows my way. No. You know what makes you righteous? Jesus Christ. See, when God looks at you because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees you as righteous. He doesn't see all of that sin. God cannot look upon sin. What he sees is the blood covering. He sees Jesus in you. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. I know that's hard for a lot of people to take. But think of this. The maker of the universe knows you. He's greatly concerned about you. And I think we should stop right now and thank him for his tender mercies. But I think another mark of the Lord's people is this. Actual obedience. I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow me. Well, Lord, I can't follow you because this and that has come into my life, and I must leave everything that I have been doing for you, Lord, because, see, this came in, and I won't be very popular. Lord, I'll lose my reputation. Lord, you know how people are. You're trying to tell God about people? It says in the Bible, they first hated me. They're going to hate you. You're going to be hated in the house of your friend. You decide to get obedient for the Lord. I mean, you decide to follow Jesus. You are not going to be popular because following Jesus will take you through a whole lot of trials. What are you willing to give up of your life for Jesus Christ? Your reputation? The Bible says that Jesus was a man of no reputation. God had no reputation? Oh no, but he had a lot of character.
Thank you for listening to episode 243. That was part one. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the beautiful weather. God bless you.